It's good to have you here on Your Rancher Radio. I'm Jim Watkins. Thank you again for joining me, and the hits just keep on coming. I want to thank you and all of those who took the opportunity to look at our four-part series, Understanding the Your Rancher Revelation, where we went through parts 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the book. And again, thank you so much. I got overwhelming response to that, and I thank you. If you ever want to email us here at Your Rancher Radio, the podcast, or the online yourrancherradio.net, all you have to do is send us an email, and we would respond mostly to anything, any questions you have about the site or the Your Rancher book itself. The book email address, if you ever want to get in touch, is yourrancherbookradio@gmail.com, yourrancherbookradio@gmail.com. And thanks again. I appreciate you taking the time. We've got a good show for you this time up. It's a new segment series that we're calling The Inbox. What does the Your Rancher book say about? And it's up to you. It's listener driven. So the premise is simple. Inbox, a special segment where you, the listener, get to ask any question having to do with spirituality or religion. Maybe your spiritual health not so good these days. Maybe you're feeling a little down and out. Maybe you have deep yearning questions about God, or maybe you just have a simple question about the world we live in and how it got this way. Send us a question and we'll answer it with the Your Rancher book. If the Your Rancher book can answer your question, then everybody wins, and it gives you an opportunity to see what the Your Rancher book. You know, in my early years of reading it, I don't know about you, but if you're a longtime reader, I'm sure there were a lot of things that would come up in your life, as with me, where I would say, I wonder what the Your Rancher book says about that. And it's not always easy. Paula Thompson, who runs the fellowship out the Boulder Group, she once said a lot of self-help books are about how-to, and the Your Rancher book is really more of a how-come. So send us a question, and we'll see if the Your Rancher book can answer it, and we'll, of course, keep your identity private, as we always do. So this week we have a question from Will in South Carolina. His question, is man really evil? What does the Your Rancher book say about man and his evil nature? Good question, Will. Let's see how we can answer that. Is man really evil? Well, according to the Your Rancher book and what I know about what the Your Rancher book says, man is potentially evil. He has potential to be good as well, but because he is an animal creature, an evolutionary will creature, his choices can become selfish, self-destructive, and it is a contrast to goodness. So since man recognizes good and evil, he is a moral creature. Other animals don't differentiate between good and evil. They just react naturally for their own self-survival instinct. Man, on the other hand, can twist reality to serve his own purpose, and sometimes this results in much harm coming to others. Man is evil because of his decisions, because the farther he is from doing good, serving others, and in doing so serving God, the farther he is away from being godly or good. In the Your Rancher book, true sin is described as deliberate disloyalty to deity. That is when a person decides against God on purpose, deliberate, knowing full well he is making a selfish choice that is contrary to what he knows that God would want him to do, that may only serve his immediate needs. Moral character is a test, the biggest test we have in this life. And oftentimes when we make consistently good decisions, decisions we know are good for us and good for those around us, then our lives tend to be better. Sinful behavior, that is to say, behavior that we know is bad for us or for people around us, oftentimes makes us prone to bad things happening. Yeah, this is written about all over the place in the Bible. I mean, if your life is a culmination of your decision-making, if your life sucks, look at the decisions you make. If your life is good, give yourself a little bit of credit. You know, everybody has opportunity and luck. Opportunity and luck. Good fortune. But good fortune doesn't always represent that God is giving you grace. It might just be that you have good luck because there's an opportunity that presents itself because you made a series of choices that got you where you are. But evil represents a choice when given a choice between two actions, to take or not to take, to hurt or not to hurt, to cheat or not to cheat, to be loyal or disloyal. Every person knows in his heart what is good. That is what differentiates us from the animal kingdom. And this is why evil exists, because we are moral beings, which is a godly quality. God gave us the ability to know right from wrong. It's when we tell ourselves that there's no such thing as evil that we separate ourselves from what we know is true. I hope that answered your question, by the way, Will. There is some good reading in the Urantia book on the subject, both in Part 3 on evil and sin, and Jesus speaks about this subject often with his disciples in Part 4 of the book. Look up Paper 89. Paper 89 is a great place to start. And Paper 148, Section 4, Jesus gives a great discussion narrative about evil, sin, and iniquity. Paper 148, Section 4, and Paper 89. If you have a question or you need guidance on a particular emotional or spiritual issue, maybe the Urantia book can help you, and we can help you here on the inbox. Let us know. Send in your questions. We'll keep your identity private. Email the inbox at urantiabookradio@gmail.com. urantiabookradio@gmail.com. Next question comes from Eric in Santa Barbara. Are these the end days? Because it sure feels like it. What does the Urantia book say about the end times? Great question, Eric. Are these the end days? In Paper 95, which is one of my favorite papers, which describes the present time and the future of our world and the future of the life and teachings of Jesus and his impact, we are told that the world eventually, all worlds, eventually achieve a state of relative peace as they evolve towards a more spiritual age of light and life. This is the normal path. From Section 10 in Paper 195, we are told that Christianity must reform itself in the coming age and that the true teachings of Jesus must prevail. Exalted humanism and secularism will only lead to more terrible destruction, and that we are in fact going through an ideological struggle. Previously, we were in the age of priests and shamans. Now we're in the age of lawyers and businessmen, and the next age will be marked by the age of teachers and philosophers. That would be the natural next step. Here's a quote. When Jesus becomes lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. Your Urantia book says in Paper 68 that the future very much depends on great and wise leadership and a fostering of intelligent human activity. It basically says we're going through a stormy age, but we are far from being the end times. We may be, in fact, approaching the end of one dispensation and the beginning of another, but it's also the culmination of intellectual and spiritual progress. So here's a quote from 195, Section 6. When the materialistic secular panic is over, the religion of Jesus will not be found bankrupt. The spiritual bank of the kingdom of heaven will pay out faith, hope, and moral security to all who draw upon it in his name. I hope, Eric, that has answered your question. If not, email us back. Check out Paper 195. It may give you more insight as to whether or not these are the end times. So Paper 68 and Paper 195 on the end times. And that about wraps it up for this edition of The Inbox, new program element on Urantia Radio, the podcast. What does the Urantia book say? And I hope you've enjoyed this, and we're open to you, and we'd love to hear from you. Once again, check us out online, urantiaradio.net, or email us at urantiabookradio@gmail.com. urantiabookradio@gmail.com. And it's been a real pleasure to be with you this time up. Until next time, have a wonderful day.